pray. Our Father, you've promised and assured us that when we ask for bread, you will not give us a stone. You love us. You care for us. You pity us. You know us intimately in all of our needs and all of the ways in which we stumble. And as we stumble in this whole area of fear, anxiety, and worry, thank you for your kindness and your love to assure us again and again that there's no reason to be anxious and there's no reason to be fearful. As we come to the scriptures again, we would ask you to open our hearts to the word and open the word to our hearts by your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Please open God's word with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, page 466. And please follow in the reading of God's word the first 9 verses of Psalm 37. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. We're in a conclusion this morning to this series on how to deal with fear and anxiety. The command in Scripture that's given most often is do not be afraid. And it's in the context almost always of God then coming and revealing himself. Do not be afraid because I care for you. Do not be afraid because I am your God. Do not be afraid because I will love you. There's no reason to be anxious. There's no reason to be fearful. There's no reason to worry. The application to all of these Scriptures that we've been looking at, there are three that the way out of fear, conquering fear, is a result of how you think, first of all. Fear is a factor of our mind as it processes, as it interprets, as it reacts to facts, real or imaginary. And so to deal with worry and anxiety and fear, we must address the thought process where we are believing a lie, and look for that untruth that we are believing, and only then as we begin will we begin to come out of fear. If you're only looking at the emotions of fear and not the thinking process, you won't make much progress. You're only dealing with symptoms and not the cause. Conquering fear is a result of how you think. And secondly, conquering fear is a result of how you choose. However the fire has started, whether that's the boys at the campfire didn't extinguish the fire, or lightning, or arson, or the cigarette that was thrown out the car window, however the fire has started, you have a choice once the fire has started to either extinguish it with water or pour gasoline on it and fuel it. And so too with the emotion of fear. The emotion of fear is not the sin. But once it is engaged in your heart, you have a choice to either put it out biblically and come out of it or fuel it. And the sin is to fuel it. The sin is to stay in fear and to let it become, and you become a slave to fear. We are not to fuel sin. You have a choice by faith in God's word, God the Holy Spirit, who is not the spirit of fear, to come out of it. Conquering fear is a result of how you think. Conquering fear is a result of how you choose. And conquering fear is a result of how directly you take it on. You'll never conquer fear. You'll never conquer worry by continuing to avoid the situations that cause you fear. You can only go directly into it biblically and look at a world in which God has given us the truth and how to live. We've been looking at Psalm 37 and looking at the six doors out of fear as we've meditated on the verbs here in these verses. The first door out of fear is to deal with fear by choosing to obey. It's three times the command is given to us, do not fret, verse 1, verse 7, verse 8, because God will care for you. Do not, it's a decision to obey. The second door out of fear is we deal with fear by growing in our relationship with God, by choosing to know him, to trust him, to delight in him. You grow out of fear by choosing to know God. You take that fear and that anxiety and turn it 180 degrees or turn it inside out. It's pointing to an attribute of God, which is the contrast, the attribute of God, which is the opposite. And so you take your fear and you meditate upon it. Is what here am I to learn about God? What here am I of attribute of God am I to come to know? And it's that attribute of God then that you focus on and learn and meditate on scripture about and meditate and memorize those verses. And you will see the way out of fear. You take the fear and let it point you as a way to know God. And not only to know God, but to trust in God. Those who struggle with anxiety and worry and fear are just trusting the wrong person. They're trusting themselves. They're trusting their resources instead of trusting the God whom they're coming to know. And the way out of fear is to learn to switch the object of your trust from yourself to God. And learning to grow and to delight in God, to make Christ your treasure and seek first his kingdom. And Jesus said, and then you will not be anxious for nothing. Matthew chapter 6. Today we want to, perhaps it's ambitious, but we want to take the last four doors out of fear. And that is you deal with fear by delegation. You deal with fear with quietness. You deal with fear with patient waiting. You deal with fear by doing good. The third door out of fear is to deal with fear, with delegation. Look at verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Commit, delegate, cast. The wrong response of staying in fear and anxiety and worry, the wrong response is to not let go. It's the compulsion. I don't want to let go of control. My world is falling apart. So the worrier, those in anxieties, are doing all that they can to keep control of their lives. And that's the problem. That's the psychology of worry. If I worry enough, then everything will be okay. If I just spend enough emotional energy on this, then somehow I can control the outcome. Somehow I can control the circumstances if I just keep worrying and worrying and worrying. Of course, it's ludicrous. It's irrational. It doesn't work. Expression of faith in a folk wisdom from West Virginia. This, don't worry about the mule going blind, just load the wagon. Don't you let your anxieties about all the future, what could happen, and all the anxieties affect your present work. Don't worry about the mule going blind, just load the wagon. Ecclesiastes 11:4, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. If you're anticipating all the future problems, all the future scenarios that might go wrong, you won't do the work that God's called you to do today. People who struggle with fear and anxiety and worry, they don't like to hear that they're controlling people because they feel the opposite. They feel that their life is out of control. But they are controlling people because they're trying to control their own world and their own strength and all of their own resources, rather than trusting God for his resources. There's different reasons for that. Someone may find it very, very difficult to let go of control because perhaps they've experienced pain or rejection in relationships, some harm that has come to them or harm to those that they love, and their response might be, well, I'm not going to let that happen again. So my control is I have to keep my life from falling apart. I don't want harm to come again to those that I love. And so very, very difficult for them to let go of their control. Or someone who struggles with perfectionism. Very difficult to let go of their control. One woman wrote, my house has to be perfect. Everything has to be in order. Everything has to look straightened and organized. I can't leave the house until it's squeaky clean. And sometimes I vacuum several times a day. If things aren't clean and neat, it makes me nervous. One counselor wrote, your fears are all about losing control. If you want to stay in control, stay in the present instead of projecting into the future. David Powelson wrote, anxiety and control are two sides of one coin. We want to control something, and since we can't control it, we worry about it. The wrong response to anxiety and worry and fear is to try to keep control. The right response, the biblical response, is here in verse 5. It's to commit your way to the Lord. Transfer, roll, cast. The word can be translated, as Calvin does, roll your ways upon the Lord. Get rid of the burden. It's used as a camel being loaded. Transfer the weight from you to God. Leupold translated, discharge the burden from your shoulders and lay it upon God. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Phillips translated that freely. You can throw the whole weight of your anxiety upon him because you are his personal concern. Cast all your anxiety upon him. He cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. It's actually a quote of Psalm 55, verse 22, and it's appropriate for both contexts. Context of Psalm 55 is the context of being betrayed by friends, context of suffering, context of hostility, context of betrayal and pain. And Peter takes that verse in that context and quotes it in his context, which is the context of the church undergoing imminent persecution and martyrdom. The Holy Spirit is saying through the Psalms, the Holy Spirit is saying through Peter, whatever your burden is, even up to martyrdom and persecution, cast your burden upon the Lord. He cares for you. To commit your way to the Lord, you see, is then, first of all, it's action, and it requires trust. To commit your way to the Lord is a decision of action. If you are to transfer, if you are to commit, it means you must give something to the Lord. You must, quote, let him do it. You must let him solve it for you. For somebody who is gripped with fear and anxiety and worry, they've lost perspective. They've lost perspective that God is in control. God is ruling. God loves you, and he's going to use this situation for your good. And so the way out of fear, the way out of anxiety, is to recommit this back to God. Transfer it to him. Commit it to him. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. He will sustain you, because he daily bears our burdens. Psalm 68:19. What is a prayer of committing to the Lord your worry and anxiety? What will that sound like? Would the prayer be something like this? Father in heaven, my heart today is really troubled about this situation at work. And on you go, describing the situation of work. And maybe even then taking and describing all of your feelings and all of your struggles and all of your worries. You say, amen. And you get up and you pick up the worry and the anxiety just where you left off. Is that, and somebody says to you, but you need to pray about this. And you say, I just did pray about it. And I would lovingly say to you, no, you didn't pray about it. You vented. It might feel therapeutic. You might have told God all of your emotions and all of your description. It was only describing the situation. But you weren't praying. You weren't casting to God anything. You weren't leaving anything with God. You were there on your knees describing God to all of your pain and sorrow and suffering and worries and fears, and you got up and you picked them up again. You haven't prayed about it at all. So what does a prayer sound like if you're going to cast something to God? It might be something like this. Father in heaven, I believe that I have obeyed my responsibilities to the best that I know how, according to your word. I've sought good counsel in this. But there is a situation at work I just do not know how to resolve. Father, I'm leaving this with you. I'm getting up from this prayer time, and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. If you want to show me an answer, I'll be looking for that. And if you want to, I'll keep looking for counsel if it's there. But Father, the next time I'm tempted to worry about this, I'm going to remind myself that I gave you this whole affair. And you say, amen. And you get up and you leave the worrying there. You have transferred it to God. You have committed it to God. Don't you think he will care for it more than you? He loves you. He said, give me your burdens. Cast them to me. The only way out of fear is you must commit to God. the things that you are worried about. Commit. Transfer. Do some movement, action. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present, give to God your requests. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We have a command not to be anxious about anything. And how will we do that? Through prayer. And what does prayer look like? Presenting to God the concerns of your heart. Ed Welch said, fear and anxiety are always occasions for us to mature as people who pray. Committing to the Lord is first of all action. If you haven't committed anything to God, if you haven't transferred anything to Him, you haven't prayed yet about this situation that you're worried about. And committing to the Lord then is trust. You only delegate something to someone who you trust. Elizabeth Elliot, worry is the antithesis of trust. You simply cannot do both. They're mutually exclusive. If you've been in management or if you have related to people in any position of organization, even committee work, you realize how difficult it is to really truly delegate to somebody, to trust them to do their work. If you're a micromanager, if you're a perfectionist, the temptation is to do what? Keep checking on them. Are they doing what I've committed to them to do? Or maybe when they're gone home from work, you go through their drawers and you recorrect everything they've done. Have you delegated to them? No, you haven't delegated at all. Delegation is, I'm giving this to you. I trust you to do this. I'm not going to do it. Delegation requires trust. So think about it. If you said that you have committed this worry to God, and you say amen, and you get up, and then you start worrying about it all over again, what are you saying about God? Are you saying that He's incompetent? That He couldn't handle it, really, so you have to check up on Him. You have to do the micromanagement. Are you saying that He doesn't really love you? He doesn't really have your best concerns? You see, we don't want to say that, do we, of our hearts toward our God? But isn't that what we're saying? If we have said we've committed something to Him and we trust Him to do it and we trust that it will work out for good, and then we pick it right up and start worrying and anxious again, we are saying something about God. We're certainly saying that we've not delegated it to Him. The way out of worry and anxiety is to delegate the matter to God. And in order to delegate to Him, you must trust Him. You must know Him. You must belong to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to become a son and daughter by trusting in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as a child, learning to grow and know who God is and all of His attributes and all of His beauty, your God is too small, so that we grow and we grow in knowing the richness of God, so that we begin to trust Him more because we know Him more, and therefore we delegate to Him. You overcome anxiety because you trust in God, and therefore you transfer your concerns to Him. That might seem artificial at first, but you do it. You practice it. And then leave your emotions to the end, and peace will come. The door out of fear, you deal with fear with delegation to God. You commit your way to Him. The fourth door out of fear is found in verse 7 and verse 8, and that is you deal with fear with quietness. Verse 7, be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the one who carries out evil desires. Refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it only leads to evil. Be still before the Lord. That's the better translation instead of rest. It's the idea of be quiet. The mother to the child, shh, shh, quiet, be still. Before the Lord. Calvin translated, be silent to the Lord. My hope comes from Him. Moses was standing at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's armies were behind him coming to to take them back into slavery, and there's the Red Sea before them. What's their hope? What's the answer? And God says to them, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Quiet your soul. That seems very contradictory to the person who's worried. Seems very contradictory to the person who's consumed with anxiety. But they must not give way to their emotions of anxiety. Must not give way to fear. It seems counterintuitive. The person who is worrying, the person who's consumed with anxiety, their fear wants relief and they want it now. Impatience is very much a mark of anxiety. Somebody who's consumed with worry has become a very impatient person. And they're running. They don't know what they're running away from. They don't even know what they're running to. But they just want to run. Something's got to change. Now. And it's only when the soul will quiet itself that you begin to think clearly again. Who's my God? What's he called me to do? How am I to delegate? And you begin to think your way biblically out of the situation, but you must do that only by making your soul quiet before God. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. May the Lord of peace himself, it's emphatic, God himself, this is a gift of him. He will give it to his children, peace at all times. What situation would you possibly conceive of where the God of peace would not give you peace? And in every way. It's not contingent upon anyone, anything. May the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every way. Quiet in your heart. Shh. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You respond to worry and fear. You must respond by quieting your soul. However the fire starts, the choice is to put it out, extinguish it, or fuel it with gasoline. The emotion of fear is not the sin. But when a person is aware that I'm in the grips of anxiety, I'm in the grips of fear, I'm in the grips of worry, the way out is to quieten yourself. What is the lie I've been believing and repent of that? And who is the God I'm coming to know and believe that and reaffirm my faith in him, but quieten myself? Faith to you means a refusal to panic. Do not let your emotions get control. Deal with fear. The door is deal with fear with delegation. Commit to the Lord your way. Fourth door, deal with fear with quietness. Fifth door, deal with fear with waiting patiently. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one. Being quiet, waiting for the Lord, his time, his way, is the contrast to fretting. What is fretting? It's that getting yourself all agitated and worried and driven by fear. And God says that the opposite of that is to learn to wait patiently for him, to learn to accept God's timing, God's way. I will wait until God is going to deal with this situation. I refuse to let my heart become anxious about this situation until it's my turn, my opportunity to obey and be responsible, or until I see God action. But I will refuse to burn emotions until his time. I'm going to wait patiently for him. Isaiah 30, verse 15, in quietness and trust shall be your strength. To King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand in who you know God is and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. What's your idea of waiting for the Lord? Is your idea of waiting patiently for the Lord the same as being in 24-hour emergency care and you've just shown up with a sick child and you realize that you have to wait an hour and a half to see a doctor? And so every 5 minutes you keep going back to the counter. Is it my turn yet? What's the number? How much Is that pacing back and forth? Is that what you mean by waiting for the Lord? That's not biblically waiting for the Lord. Biblically waiting for the Lord is to say, I believe who God is. He's given me his promise and his word. He's told me to be quiet. He's told me to trust this matter to him. And I refuse to burn emotions or emotional energy over this matter until it's time to deal with it. I'm going to wait for God. Proverbs 3:25, do not be afraid of sudden fear. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Don't be afraid of fear. Do not be afraid of sudden fear or of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of fear. It's a command. You're wasting your time in fretting. He loves you. Wait patiently for him. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself, Matthew 6:34. Before he was president, Lincoln, in his circuit riding days, would conduct sessions of court in a whole circuit. And this one particular year, as he was riding by horseback through his whole circuit, many of the rivers had swollen. This one circuit had particularly a very difficult swollen river, the Fox River. They had had much trouble in getting across all of these other rivers, and they were beginning to think, how are we ever going to get a Fox River? That night, they were stopped at a log tavern where there was a Methodist presiding elder. He was known that he, in his circuit riding, had gone through that whole area. He knew the Fox River very well. He knew about all the rivers in that area. And so they were all gathered around him to ask him the question about the state of the Fox River. And he replied, oh, yes, I know all about the Fox River. I've crossed it often. I understand it well. But I have one fixed rule with regard to the Fox River. I never cross it until I reach it. Wait till I get there before I figure out how I'm going to cross it. Wait patiently for the Lord. You're not there yet. How would you respond to Ed Welsh's quote, anxiety and worry are always in the future. They're scouts on the frontier. They run ahead and spy on the enemy, and when they return, they tell tales of bloodthirsty giants, a giant army that extends to the horizon, insurmountable odds and sure defeat. These spies, you see, have been commissioned to always envision the worst-case scenario. Your task is to denounce these alarmist spies. Act on the grace that God has given you today. Wait confidently for the grace that God will give you tomorrow. Tomorrow's manna isn't on the ground yet. You have manna for today only. In his great wisdom, God doesn't give you tomorrow's manna today. Otherwise, you'd forget him and trust in yourself. I make piles. If you have been in my study, in my home, you know I make piles. I make piles for the session meeting. I make piles for the General Assembly. I make piles for the Committee on Diaconal Ministries. I make piles for the subcommittee on the Committee of Diaconal Ministries. Piles for leadership training. Piles for this sermon series, that sermon series, the future sermon series. Piles for leadership training. Piles for the secretary. Piles for the internship. More and more. When I get a letter and I read it and say, oh, that really goes with that pile. I can't think about it now. I can't deal with this now. I put it on that pile. Then the day before, the day of, when that meeting is there and I'm ready to deal with those things, that's when I go to that pile and pull out all the letters and all the matters and reword them and read them again and deal with them and process them and get ready. I don't have the ability to deal with all the problems all the time for all the areas, and neither do you. You are to wait patiently for the Lord. Today is not the day to worry about that thing. You're to be still, quiet in your heart, transfer it to the Lord, and you wait for his day when it's your call to deal with that matter, when it's then the call to deal and think and process it emotionally. Wait for God's time. And the sixth door out of fear is to deal with fear with doing good. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Verse 27, turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever. Verse 34, wait for the Lord, keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. Do good. keep his way. It's the command that's often given throughout Scripture. What is the right response? Do good. That's your focus. I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, Luke 6:27. Do not be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good, Romans 12:21. Is the employer the one that's stirring up all of your anxieties and worries? You transfer the whole matter to God, deal with your responsibilities, quiet in your heart, and then do good to him. What would be doing good to your employer? Giving him the good, honest, hard work, the best you have. Maybe it's the neighbor who's causing you the fear and the anxiety. Do good to her. Even to your enemies, Jesus said, do good to them. And you do that by praying for them. God's working in their lives. God's blessing upon them. And that's the way out of fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety, you become more and more consumed upon ourselves. My feelings, my worries, my... And the way out, do good. Focus in ministry upon others, what God is calling you to do to them. Minister to them in the name of Christ. A counselor writes, it turns out that taking responsibility, as difficult as it is initially, is the road to peace. Again, when I admitted to causing my own anxiety problems, I had to begin facing the very things I'd been running from my whole life. Denial was ending, and so was blame. Up until that night, it was so easy to point a finger and say, that's why I'm anxious. You're the reason I'm so unhappy. I could then feel justified in running away, but I always took me along. Wherever I ended up, there I was, making myself miserable. It was a vicious cycle. I wasted so much time wondering when I would be happy, when I would find peace of mind, when I would like myself or be good enough for myself or anybody else. The door out of fear and anxiety and worries, do good. Take up the responsibility that God has called you to do. Minister to others. Take your focus up off yourself. When you feel that emotion of worry and anxiety and fear, it's there, it's engaged. You know the calling is to pour on water, not gasoline. Recognize that you are fearful. The sin is not in the fear. The sin is not in the emotion of fear, but in how you respond to it. Reflect, try to figure out the cause, where this has come from. Talk to yourself, reason with yourself. What is this fear most of all saying about God? What is that attribute of God that I'm to learn from this, that I'm to learn to trust him? Where is the lie that I have believed? I'm responding to an untruth, a lie, and therefore my mind has resolved in thinking this way anxiously. Have I forgotten that he loves me? Have I forgotten that he's in control of all things? You delegate back to God his responsibilities in prayer. Really delegate, not just vent, but commit to him these matters and refuse to worry about them when you've committed them to him. And then you ask, what is my response? It's to quiet in your heart. It's to wait patiently for the Lord and to do good. And at the end of the day, ignore your feelings of fear. Refuse to burn emotional energy over what you cannot change and what you cannot control, and focus upon what you are responsible for. These six doors out of fear are all fluid. You don't take them in order this way. You might be needing to deal with door five before you deal with door one. But they're all there, and that's how the scriptures have given us the way out of fear and anxiety. You deal with fear as an issue to choose to obey. Do not fret. It's an issue of growing your relationship with God, to know him, to trust him, to delight in him. You deal with fear, with delegating, committing to the Lord, with quietness, with waiting patiently for him, and with doing good. Because conquering fear is a result of how you think. It's a result of how you choose. And conquering fear is only a result of how directly you take it on. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, your word tells us that all of our days have been written in your book before one of them's come to be. All of our lives has all been planned, and that includes the trials, and that includes the struggles, and that includes all of the things that we're tempted to worry and be afraid about. And cause us to realize that these situations you've brought into our life so that we might learn to know you, that we might grow in our knowledge of you, that we might grow those muscles and develop strength in trusting you instead of ourselves. Our Father, we pray that you will remove from us the anxiety, the worry, the sin of fear as it comes upon us, that in a sinful way we might not fuel it, we might not give way to it, we might not become enslaved to it, but that we might learn to trust you and quietly wait your time to deal with these things. Our Father, we thank you for your promise to love us, that we are to cast all of our burdens to you because you care for us. Cause us to deeply remember these things of your infinite love, that there's never a reason for us to be anxious and afraid. We pray for each one, our Father, as we're going to be processing your word in different ways, that you would cause your word to bear much fruit in our lives. Now, as we close in silent prayer, continuing to pray silently, perhaps there's a burden on your heart today. You realize you have not cast to God. You've been venting, been describing it, but you've never really cast it to God and left it there. Let's take a minute of silent prayer. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, because he cares for you. Let's pray silently.